Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today's Memorial Day, when we're recording Monday, May 30th. We just got back from Park City, had some good Mexican food up there, and it finally stopped raining in Salt Lake City, so I think we can enjoy the rest of Memorial Day with good weather.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I mind the rain as much as you. I think you mind the rain more than pretty much everybody. Although I realize I'm in the minority.
I mind it when it's summer and it's supposed to be warm. It's like, I actually, in a vacuum, and like, I think it's kind of nice having overcast weather once in a while, but it's Memorial Day. It's supposed to be warm, supposed to be sunny, and it is not that.
Yeah. I get that, I guess.
That is my complaint.
I guess.
So here's what we're going to talk about today. There's a few things. One, the NBA Finals are set. It's Golden State Warriors and Boston Celtics. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I just had an article come out on MJDoubleTake.com that we're going to start with. And also, the college baseball brackets just got announced today. So we're going to spend about a minute and a half on that at the end of the show. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
Sounds like a good run through to me.
Let's start with the article, the football article, real quick. Then we'll hit the NBA Finals. So this is, again, on MJDoubleTake.com. It's called The Blue Bloods of College Football. I went through and determined, in my opinion, I think most people would agree, the top six programs in college football history, looking at national championships, Heisman winners, total wins, All-Americans, and conference champions. You edited the article. Did you have any qualms on the teams I picked?
No, I didn't have any disagreements. I guess the only thing, I seemed a little bit more confident in you putting Michigan in there than you did. You seemed to feel like they were on the edge, certainly given recent years. But historically, you know, thinking of, you know, college football, like highlights that come to my head, Michigan is, you know, certainly at the top of that list.
Yeah. When I had the idea to do this, I wasn't even going to put Michigan on, but then going through the resumes, I felt like I had to. Most total wins, third in All-Americans, third in Heisman winners, tied six for national championships, 43 conference championships, which is more than Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Head-to-head, this didn't factor in, but they were also head-to-head at more wins against Ohio State. I just feel like I had to put them on there, but the last national championship, I think it was like in the 40s. I can double-check that real quick, but it was like a while. That was the only reason I didn't want to put them on, but
yeah.
Historically, they very good.
Yeah. I mean, they could drop out, but I mean, they had a real good year this year, you know, beat Ohio State this year for the first time in a long time. So I certainly don't think they're in danger of dropping out like Yale has, for example. I think they're going to be able to fight that off.
There's also no other team, like, in my head, Texas or Nebraska were going to have stronger arguments than they ended up doing. I wrote a little bit about them and why they missed the cut. Those were the next two schools. Texas is not very good. Really disappointing. Mm-hmm. Their best metric is they have the six most total wins. Honestly, Oklahoma, I think, was better in every major significant stat. Oklahoma was on the list. The most interesting thing that I wrote about, and I knew a little bit about this, but going through both USC and Alabama, not giving away every team, I feel like people can piece it together. Alabama was obviously going to be on there. Alabama's integration, where they were one of the later schools in the SEC to integrate. They played USC in Birmingham, Alabama. I think it was 1970. Yeah, 1970. And USC had a black player named Sam Cunningham who ran, just beat the brakes off of Alabama. And Bear Bryant, the head coach, had been trying, I don't know how strongly, but he had been trying to integrate Alabama's football team. And the administration and the fans didn't want that. And the next year, Alabama had two black players. The first two black players, Wilbur Jackson and John Mitchell, were the first black players to play for Alabama. It was the year after USC with a black team and Sam, obviously wasn't all an integrated team, I should say. And Sam Cunningham helped lead to the integration of Alabama. So I thought that was a cool story.
Yeah. Cool to see how, and there's several examples in this that's pretty, are pretty interesting, how these teams are all sort of influencing each other. Obviously, you know, Michigan's got a big rivalry with Ohio State, and then we talked about USC and Alabama. So these teams do seem to be connected in a lot of ways, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. No, Oklahoma and Texas, obviously. One integration thing, I think the integration of college football is so interesting. And in the book Friday Night Lights, which is obviously what the movie and the TV show are based off of, the guy who wrote it, Bessinger, went through and talked about when Permian and Odessa integrated the high school in Texas. And if I remember right, they actually wanted to integrate, but other people didn't want them to integrate to get the black players. So that was one reason, the opposite of Alabama, that like Odessa wanted to integrate to get the players, and other schools like were trying to fight it so that they wouldn't. So
interesting.
Yeah. I always think it's interesting. Sociology. That's what I studied at BYU. That was a lot of what I was like a research that I did was integration stuff with schools and how it affected sports. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's on mjdoubletake.com. I tweeted it out on all the social media stuff as well. I thought it was interesting writing it. I think someone enjoyed it at least, right?
Yeah, no, it's a good read. If you like historical things and seeing kind of like, you know, why do we talk about Nebraska so much? Because I don't really remember Nebraska being very good or something. Then there's some fun stuff in there.
Neither of us remember Nebraska being good, but I think it's interesting. Let's talk NBA Finals.
Let's talk NBA Finals.
Golden State and Boston. Do you want to start or finish with who you think's going to win? Let's finish with that.
Okay.
So, first of all, I thought Jimmy was going to make that shot, that three-pointer, at the end of Game 7 mm-hmm. in the Eastern Conference Finals. I wanted him to make it. Bummed he didn't. Boston has been arguably the best team in the NBA since January. Jason Tatum's a legitimate superstar. I love watching them. I wish Marcus Smart played for the Utah Jazz. Those are my thoughts. I love watching Boston, particularly Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart.
Yeah. I'm interested in, I'm really excited about this matchup because, you know, Golden State, you know, they came out hot with Steph Curry being in the MVP conversation. Then he gets hurt. They slow down a lot. They get Klay back. He's, you know, not quite what he was before, but he probably would have regressed over those 2 years just by age, if anything, not even just the injury. But now we got Steph back, who's, you know, maybe not quite at that MVP pace, but still playing very, very well. I think Jordan Poole's improved over the season. So it's fun seeing, like, these old-style 2015, 2016 Warriors, and they're against, you know, a team that I think can actually defend them in a way that, you know, certainly the Cleveland Cavaliers could not. I feel like this is their first title run where they've gone up against a huge, you know, long, quick, young, defensive juggernaut. So I'm very excited. I wish we could have seen this, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, but it is going to be fun to watch, you know, Steph and Klay and Jordan Poole trying to run around all of these guys and see what they can do. And also is, you know, Golden State also has, I think they have the number one defense in the NBA, but like you don't think of them as having the pieces necessarily to defend, you know, all of the different guys that the Celtics have. So it's going to be, I'm very interested to see how the defense plays out in this series.
Yeah. I was thinking about it and like who they're going to guard, because Boston could have Smart, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, any of those guys guard Steph Curry. They have Robert Williams, who's probably going to be on Draymond for a lot of the time. Like they're very switchable defensively, which is why they were one of the best defenses in the league. And I like any of those guys who aren't guarding Curry can guard Poole, can guard Klay Thompson. I think I'm talking myself into Boston actually as we're going through this, just because I think they match up very well with Boston's defense versus what Golden State's going to run offensively, mm-hmm. to your point. I think it's crazy. 6 finals in 8 years. That's kind of nuts for Golden State.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. That's Michael Jordan stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so I guess I don't know what else to say other than I guess I'm picking Boston. Just because what we were talking about, like, they can, Steph Curry's going to have to do his thing. Poole's not fantastic defensively. Klay Thompson hasn't been as good as, like, peak Klay. I think Robert Williams can do a good job. I don't know about neutralizing Draymond Green, but taking away some of his bonus or some of his edge, what Draymond does offensively. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think who they would have guard Jason Tatum. Like, I don't think anyone they have can, like, guard Jason Tatum one-on-one. Would Draymond be the best guy?
Well, Draymond certainly be good. I think Draymond is going to slow him down. I don't know if that's necessarily what they're going to ask him to do. I'd feel, you know, I don't feel great about Klay, but I feel better about Klay than I do more than half the NBA, you know?
Yeah.
Just because he's lost a step. Every single thing that I can think of, like, even playoff experience, obviously, you know, Steph, Klay, and Draymond have way more than anybody on the Celtics. But if you look at the rest of the Warriors, if we look at, you know, Kevon Looney, we look at Jordan Poole, I think the Celtics are probably more experienced in the playoffs, even though they've never been to the finals. That being said, I don't know. I think I'm still going to pick the Warriors.
Yeah, because for the Warriors to win in my head, obviously Steph's going to have to be great. Jordan Poole's going to have to do his thing offensively. But also, Kevon Looney's going to, like, he had a great series. And I think it was game 4, game 5 in particular.
Yeah.
Against Dallas. Mm-hmm. Where for Boston to win, they're going to need Jason Tatum to do well, Marcus Smart to do well, Jaylen Brown, like, their main guys. And I think there's just more that Golden State, in my head, is going to have to do. But also, Steph Curry is one of the best players of all time. Steve Kerr is proving to be one of the best coaches of all time. And I don't want to mispronounce the names. Udoka? Boston Celtics head coach. I don't want to mispronounce his name. Ime Udoka?
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
First time coaching. Obviously, they're in the NBA Finals. But it is a first-year head coach.
Yeah.
So maybe that does give an edge to the Warriors.
Yeah. So I don't know. This would be, I think, if Steph Curry wanted to cement his greatness and move up a tier, you know, I don't think he's going to move up into that, you know, LeBron, Michael Jordan range. I'm not even sure he jumps up to the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson tier. But I do think that this moves him up a step in the conversation. How great is Steph Curry?
I think he's already a clear number two in, like, our generation behind LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, a 100% number two. There's not really an argument for number three behind Curry after LeBron.
I mean,
I would say Durant.
Durant's really good.
Sixth finals?
Yeah.
I know Durant was on the team for two of them, but, like, if you look at what Durant's doing and Durant last year in the playoffs against Milwaukee was fantastic. Like, I think I'm picking a one-on-one player, I'd pick Durant. But if you're just looking at the resume, and I know you can't just look at the resume, Steph's way better.
He certainly had a better career. But, like, if that were the case, then we'd be putting Bill Russell ahead of Michael Jordan and pretty much everybody. And Bill Russell's great. I just don't think anybody thinks he's as good as Michael Jordan.
No, but I think winning has to count for something. I know it can't be everything. I know you can't just say this is how many wins, this is how many championships. But it should count for something. And I think with Steph, every year he's been healthy, basically. I think even last year, if I remember right, and if I'm wrong, let me know. But I think he was injured a lot of last year. They didn't make the playoffs after losing to the Lakers in the playoff game. But like you said, six finals, that's Michael Jordan stuff. Now, they didn't win against Toronto, and they have a tough one today. But he's been the most important player on the best team in the last 20 years. Like, best team over a period of time.
Yeah.
Even if Durant was better, Steph was more important. That was always Steph's team. It ran through him, even if Durant was a better player.
Mm-hmm. But now you've just said that Durant was a better player. And
I said if.
Okay, you said if.
Yeah.
But earlier you said if you were going to pick a player, you would pick Durant.
One-on-one, yeah.
So, oh, you mean like in a game of
one? Yeah, literally like in a one-on-one game, I would pick Kevin Durant over Steph Curry.
Right, yeah. And that's pretty obvious. Durant's a lot better defender.
I'm not sure if I was drafting a team. That's true. Like, I would... Like, if I was drafting a team, I think it'd be close. I feel like you don't think it'd be close.
No, I think it'd be close. And I honestly... Because you just said clear number two. I'm not even necessarily Kevin Durant's better. I just don't think it's clear.
I think if we're talking about, like, all time, I think it is. I probably, maybe not as big of a gap as I hinted at. But I would, like, firmly put Steph Curry ahead of Durant as far as, like, legacy, all time, all that conversation. Firmly.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think Kevin Durant's a great player. The only time he won was with Steph Curry.
Sure, but I mean, he's also been on the Nets, which have been the most dysfunctional organization in the last, like, since he's got there, through no fault of his own.
Well, I mean, he did choose to go there and go with Kyrie, so it's a little fault of his own.
Well, yeah, but, like, as far as, like, him, like, on the basketball court, like, he hasn't been screwing it up, and, like he didn't know that there was going to be a pandemic, and he didn't, like, he couldn't have predicted that there was going to be this pandemic thing and Kyrie would refuse to get vaccinated.
That's true. I feel like Kyrie's a wild card that he wanted to play with, but I get your point.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario happened.
Kyrie's certainly a wild card. And, I mean, I don't think that really, you know, Russell Westbrook, I think we both think he is underrated and he gets a lot of the way more of the blame than he probably deserves with the Lakers. But clearly those Thunder teams were not as good as the Heat. They were not as good as the Warriors, even though they had a 3-1 lead on the Warriors.
Right. But I would also say, like, you would pick Russ over Clay, wouldn't you? Going one-on-one, if we're doing the one-on-one game? Prime, yeah. Russ versus prime Clay.
Sure, but like as far as like a team setting and what the Warriors are trying to do, I would absolutely rather have Clay.
Well, in a team setting, what any team's trying to do, I'd rather have Steph.
For what any team is trying to do.
Yeah, because I think any team can do what, like, I think what Steph does is not, it's not like a Tom Brady, Bill Belichick situation. I think, well, first of all, those guys would be successful anyway. But I think Steph, if Steph was on, like, the Charlotte Hornets or the Dallas Mavericks, I think they could figure out how to maximize it. I don't think Steve Kerr is the biggest genius in NBA history who like, unlocked something. I think he's a very good coach.
I mean, he was doing a lot of stuff that they couldn't do with Mark Jackson.
They also went, like, 15-3 with Luke Walton.
Because Luke Walton was doing all the stuff that Steve Kerr was doing.
I'm not saying Steve Kerr is bad. I'm just saying Mark Jackson is a below-average coach. Steve Kerr is an above-average coach. Sure. But I think there are, like, multiple teams, maybe not every team, but a lot of teams who would have multiple finals, maybe not six, but multiple finals appearances with Steph Curry.
So you think the Charlotte Hornets, the way they are constructed, would go to multiple finals with Steph Curry?
I would bet if he played his whole career in Charlotte, they would have won the East. Well, that's not fair because LeBron was there.
Yep. And I said, are as we, currently constructed.
So, like, with LaMelo and Miles Bridges and stuff?
Yeah.
I think they'd be top three team in the East, wouldn't you?
They'd be a lot better.
I would pick Steph, LaMelo, Miles Bridges. I'd pick them over the Nets with Kevin Durant.
But who else is on that team, considering that they're paying Gordon Hayward $120 million?
Well, Jordan Poole is like an undrafted free agent or something like that. They're playing Gary Payton Jr., went to junior college, and then Oregon State. They got Toscano, who also, like, didn't do anything in college. Kevon Looney was a okay player at UCLA. Like, Golden State's doing the same thing. Like, if Golden State, these players were on different teams, they'd be the same.
Sure. The Golden State Warriors are a good organization that know how to pick players that fit around Steph Curry. The Charlotte Hornets would not be able to do that.
Okay, well, you're just blaming the Charlotte Hornets. I feel like Steph makes all those players better. Kevin Durant makes, like, the team better just because he's, like, that good of a player. But I feel like Steph makes individual players better than anyone else in the league. I think, because think of all it does, like all the space he opens up, like the entire focus has to be not only on Steph, but all the lanes he opens.
He makes
to game plan.
He makes people around him better than Kevin Durant does. That's yes. I definitely agree with that. But Kevin Durant is a better basketball player than Steph Curry.
So on your all-time rankings, you have KD ahead of Steph.
Yes.
What if the Golden State Warriors win and it's Steph's fourth championship? He gets finals MVP, which he hasn't done yet. Kevin Durant won it when he was there.
Yeah, I think that probably puts... I would still think Kevin Durant's in his prime is a better basketball player, but yeah, I think that puts him ahead on the list, which was my original point, that if he wins this, that moves him up on the ladder of greatness from what he is right now.
Yeah, because it's... See, we're talking like prime. I think Steve Young in his prime... I'd rather have 1 year of Steve Young than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Niners fan, so I'm biased. But all time, obviously, that's not the case. I think we're saying basically the same thing. Think we're close.
Okay.
I would just have Steph ahead of Durant right now. You're saying he'd have to win to get ahead of you, probably.
Probably, and I wouldn't need to think about it. So I don't know why I stuttered so much there, but what you said that I took objection to is that he is clearly ahead of Kevin Durant, which I think is silly.
Yeah, I think he is. Maybe I'm in the minority. I right now, even if they lose, would have Steph ahead of Durant on my all-time list.
Mm-hmm.
But it's close. That being said, I think I'm picking Boston to win.
And I'm picking Golden State.
All right, we'll go Warriors. I think I might be cheering for the Warriors, but hope everyone has a good time. Let's talk college baseball real quick.
Okay.
So this is going to be a few minutes just because I don't think you've watched any college baseball this year.
Nope.
So Tennessee's very good.
That's what I hear. I
think they're 53-7, like record breaking good. Trying to think what to tell you. Yeah, so college baseball, how it works, there's 16 regionals of four teams, so there's 64 teams. Then those winners of the regional play in what's called a super regional, and then they play one team from another regional. It's basically, they go Sweet 16, or they do like, I don't know how to explain it. It's 64 teams get cut to 16, then those get cut to 8, then those 8 are the College World Series.
Every time this is explained to me, it is like in Community when they join the Glee Club and they get all excited. It's like, because we, right now, we're going to regionals. If we win regionals, we get to go to semi-divisionals. And if we win semi-divisionals, it's regular divisionals followed by semi-regionals and then coastals. It kind of sounds like that.
That's kind of how it is.
Yeah.
I'm excited, though. I think it's great.
Good.
I think the combination of college pitching isn't as deep and they're college athletes to begin with, it just makes it way crazier.
Mm-hmm.
The number one overall seed, I know this is a stat that gets repeated to death, but number one overall seed hasn't won since 1999. Last year, Arkansas was like super favorite. Everyone was obsessed with Arkansas. They didn't even make it to the College World Series.
Yeah.
So that being said, Tennessee's very good. They're probably going to win.
I will say, like, even with Major League Baseball, I can't really be bothered to watch the regular season unless I'm actually at the game. But what I think happens even more probably with college, and I remember this, you know, just comparing the schedules to what we saw with the Cottonwood baseball team, because Cottonwood had a really good baseball team over high school.
Yeah, I was going to say Cottonwood is our high school.
Yeah. I like that there's a loser's bracket and you're playing essentially every day. So you have to be able to have multiple pitchers to be able to work through. And so I do find it entertaining to think, okay, how many pitches can this guy throw? Is he going to be available on Tuesday? And will he be available on the Thursday after that to play the team that they actually need to beat? All that stuff is really, really interesting. Combined with what you said of the college pitchers are inherently not going to be as good, but also the batters aren't going to be as good. So there's a lot more like actual defensive plays, which for me is the actual most interesting part of baseball that we just don't see in Major League Baseball as much anymore.
Yeah. You watched a lot of North Carolina this weekend with me,
yeah,
or at least some of it. Okay. And I just finished watching the Giants and the Phillies play, and every run that was scored was a home run. It was a 5-4 game. Like, oh, there's one sacrifice fly in the end. And that's fine, but I'd rather see, like, a line out, like a double play, like actual balls hit into the field, not a home run.
Well, and if they do hit a home run in college, then it's actually exciting.
Yeah.
Because it's compared to all this other stuff.
So I love it. So, yeah, college baseball is awesome. I think more than any sport, the intensity ramps up from the regular season to the playoffs with baseball more. Like, regular season baseball, I agree with you. I like baseball a lot more than you. Unless the San Francisco Giants are playing, it's hard to watch a regular season baseball game. Mm-hmm. But I can watch most any, like, MLB playoff game, any College World Series game I can watch.
Yeah.
I can't watch, like, the Reds play the Rockies. I'm not going to watch, like, Oklahoma play West Virginia
mm-hmm.
in the regular season.
Yeah.
But in the College World Series, definitely am. Mm-hmm. So, let's run through some teams real quick. Tennessee's very good. Texas is very good. They have a guy, Texas, named Ivan Melendez, who they call the Hispanic Titanic.
If the name came from a Hispanic person, I like it.
I assume it did.
It has a lot of good I sounds.
I think it's great. I imagine it came from Ivan or to the Texas program, at least. Yeah. Let's see. I think Virginia Tech is good. Obviously, North Carolina, Oklahoma State's good. Texas Tech. I know I'm going through this quickly. Oregon State, UCLA, Ole Miss.
Oh, Army's in there.
Army made it. Yeah.
I didn't realize they played baseball.
Yeah. I think they're in like a very small conference.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. So I'm excited. So that starts this week.
Cool, cool, cool.
College baseball.
Well, yeah. Get on to ESPN Plus and check it out.
Yeah, I know that's not the main demographic here is college baseball, so I didn't want to talk too much on that. I also didn't think it turned into a Steph KD thing, but I'm happy we had that discussion.
Yeah.
We could get that sorted out.
We'll make a Twitter poll.
I'll have to think about it. That's a good idea.
Except the poll isn't who's a better player. The poll is Steph Curry clearly better than Durant?
No, it would be who's ahead on your all-time.
No, is he clearly ahead? That was what I was arguing.
Okay, I will concede that argument. That is not clearly ahead. I'll concede that.
Deal.
I think he is ahead of him, though, in the all-time ranking right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of who influenced basketball more, that's obviously Steph.
Steph ruined pickup basketball. Yeah. Just broke it.
Yeah, Steph is in the top three of, you know, progressing the game of basketball. We can argue whether that progression was good or not, but he certainly did change the direction of the game.
You know what's crazy is two things about Steph Curry that are mildly related. But one year, Steph Curry, Bryce Harper, Cam Newton, and someone who was sponsored by Under Armour in hockey all won the MVPs of their respective leagues, and they're all Under Armour athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Steph Curry and Buster Posey are both Under Armour guys, so they had Under Armour had like Maryland where they're from and San Francisco as like their main demographic strongholds.
Yeah. 2013, 14, 15. That was a big Under Armour time. Doesn't seem like as much Under Armour nowadays.
No. Yeah. Under Armour. I think their stock actually went down. Has been going down.
Yeah. Interesting.
Like I think a couple years ago, it went down relatively significantly.
Yeah. Cause like, who was the last like football player they signed?
Like, big football player?
Yeah, or, like, who's a big football player right now?
Honestly, Cam Newton is the only one I can think of. I'm trying to think of another. Oh, Tom Brady's Under Armour, I think.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, he kind of...
At least he was. Is he still Under Armour?
It seemed like Tom Brady sort of bounced around and, like, maybe had a sponsorship with, like, not Champion, but, like, some brand that I'd never heard of or, like, a small brand.
Yeah.
Like, he never really...
Maybe he does his own thing, but still does Under Armour. Because he has that TB12 sportswear.
Yeah, he does
company.
Have that.
Do you know who sponsors Nick Foles?
Champion.
Nope.
Is it someone like Champion?
No.
Okay. The Chinese brand that sponsors Dwayne Wade.
No.
Puma?
No. I don't think you're going to guess it.
Okay, well, it's not Nike or
Adidas. They don't make shoes. They make apparel, but not shoes.
But it's at least sports. Like, it's not going to be like Coke or something.
It's an athletic wear, but it's not shoes.
Okay. Lululemon?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Lululemon sponsors Nick Foles. They might have a couple other athletes.
Good for Nick. We should get him back and win the Super Bowl again.
He just signed with the Colts, right?
He did. Or they traded for him.
Okay, Under Armour football athlete. Let's read this. So they have George Pettaway, running back.
Okay.
No, that's not it. What football players? Randall Cobb.
Heard of him.
D. Ford. Justin Jefferson is Under Armour. He's probably their best player right now.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
Miles Jack is really good. I don't think anyone watches him but me. But
remember when the Eagles could have drafted Justin Jefferson, and instead we drafted Jalen Reagor?
Yes, I do remember that.
That makes me sad.
You're going to like this. Apparently, they sponsor the Universidad Católica in Chile.
Yeah, which is my favorite Chilean soccer team.
Under Armour.
So good.
And Jorge Valdivia sponsor him.
Yeah.
Apparently, Miles Jack is from
there. Are they not doing Colo Colo? I think they do Colo Colo as well in Chile.
It's not on this Wikipedia page, but maybe.
I'm pretty sure they do Colo Colo.
I'll look it up. Anyway, we don't look up Chilean sponsorship. We'll do that off the air. Appreciate everybody listening. Again, NBA Finals coming up. Obviously, you're going to watch that. Read that article. It's at mjdoubletake.com. And look for that poll. We'll iron out the wording on what the poll will be, but something regarding Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. And we'll talk to y'all later.